Well, I'm glad preacher asked me to preach, but whenever I get up here like this and have to preach a sermon that encompasses a whole idea, it's different than when I did for 19 years, 2 to 3 times a day, a Sunday. I was an expository preacher. I started at Genesis 1:1, and I'd go all the way through the book of Genesis, or I'd start at Isaiah 1:1, and I'd go all the way through the book of Isaiah, week after week after week. But when you get a chance to preach every couple of months, it's kind of hard for me anyway to put something together that's a whole idea. But we'll try tonight. If you want to, you can turn to Daniel chapter 3. I'm not starting there, but I'm going to land there. We're going to have a little bit of a discussion about things in this world today. We live in a world that is different than what I grew up with a lot of years ago. Things are so different. Turn on the 10 o'clock news. We don't stay up to the 11 o'clock news. We listen to the 10 o'clock news on weekends. And every time you turn that on, you hear about somebody getting shot up in Charlotte. You hear about people getting run over because they're out in the street drunk. We have now a new thing that they're bringing to Charlotte called a social district. Anybody hear that? You can get a drink in a bar, and then you can carry it out on the sidewalk and walk to the next bar. And hopefully there'll be a trash can there where you can throw the empty glass out and go to the next one and get drunk again, or continue to get drunk. We have all sorts of horrible things happening in the world. Do you know that on average, 15 to 20 Christians are killed in the world every day for their faith? And a lot of these people that they classify as Christians, we might not think because they're not independent Baptists, but they are also Christians. They believe in the name of Christ, and they're willing to give their life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that if you'll confess Christ before men, Jesus will confess us before the Father. And we are His. And every day, multitudes killed just because they're Christians. Say, well, you know, that could never happen in the United States of America. And 25 to 30 years ago, I would have said, you are absolutely right. It could never happen in America. But folks, we're getting close. We're getting close. A couple of months ago, for our devotions at work, we had a video series by Andrew Brunson. I don't know whether that name rings a bell with you, but he is a pastor who was imprisoned in Turkey for 2 years. And in that series of videos that he produced, he told about his experience in a Turkish prison and how that in the first year he was incarcerated, he came that close to losing his faith. And then he realized that his faith was not something he had to muster, but his faith was something that if he yielded to God, God would strengthen his faith. And the second year he was in there, he got up every morning, and before he went every night to bed, he would sing hymns in his cell. And the more he sang, the more he had strength to go on the next day. And finally, President Trump had got him released from prison over there. What a blessing it was for him to get out. But he looked back on those 2 years and realized God had used it to strengthen him. But he was fortunate. He got out. A lot of them don't get out. Our world is a dangerous place. Our country is becoming a very dangerous place. We were at a high school football game, I guess you could call it that, last night over at Westminster Christian School on India Hook Road. My granddaughter is a cheerleader for a football team that is a homeschool co-op team. And they were playing a homeschool co-op team from Spartanburg. Final score was 44-0. It was a little one-sided. The team from Cabarrus County, they were big guys. The team from Spartanburg, it looks like they had robbed the kindergarten. They were just undersized. They only had 17 players on the whole team. So that means some of them were playing offense and defense. And so by the time the game was over, I'm sure they were pretty well beat. And they were pretty well beat by the 44-0 also. But, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can feel like we're that Spartanburg team and the world is beating us up. But you know, God is great and he is good. But you know, the important thing about God taking care of us is that we remain loyal to our God and to our Savior. Way back before B.C., or in B.C., Jerusalem was under siege by Nebuchadnezzar. Always liked Nebuchadnezzar's name. It was an interesting name to say when you're a kid. But Nebuchadnezzar was king of the Babylonian Empire. And they came upon Jerusalem, and in 586 B.C., they came up against the city in a siege and destroyed the city. Carried off the king to Babylon, good old King Zedekiah, took him out, killed his sons in front of him, and then gouged his eyes out, put him in shackles, and took him off to Babylon. In that same exile was a fellow named Daniel and his three friends that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And off they went. And you know the story, I hope, that you've read it at least once. More would be better. But they went off to Babylon, and the king wanted them to eat all the fancy food that the king prepared and the wine that the king prepared, and wanted them to eat that for 3 years and be trained for 3 years, because these four guys were genuinely intelligent and they were able to learn the things of Babylonian Empire. And Daniel said, no way, I'm not eating that stuff. Now, I don't know what it was, but it, you know, it may have been pork ribs, it may have been watermelon, whatever. It may have been good stuff to eat. But they didn't want to eat. They wanted to eat vegetables and water. It's a good thing I wasn't there. If I had to live on vegetables, I'd have died in the first day. I like two vegetables, corn and tomatoes. And they tell me tomatoes are fruit. So I guess I like one vegetable. I can stuff down broccoli if it's got lots of butter and lots of lemon on it, and it doesn't taste like broccoli. But I would have suffered greatly under Daniel's diet. But they looked better after the 10-day trial of eating just vegetables and drinking water than those who were still on the king's diet. After those 3 years, you know, Daniel was kind of promoted in the kingdom. And then you remember in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, what happened? Old King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was a fierce king. He was a powerful king. And he had this dream. And he called all his wise men and all his magicians in, and he said, "Tell me the interpretation of the dream." And they said, "Well, we can do that if you tell us what the dream was." He says, "You dummies." I said, "Tell me the dream and tell me what it means." They couldn't do it. And the king said, "Execute them all." And who comes to the rescue? Why, Daniel. Daniel says, "I cannot interpret your dream and tell you what it was, but there's a God in heaven who knows all things." He goes back, and what's he do? He prays. What was his first reaction? It was to pray. He didn't go back and look at a bunch of books and say, "Well, you know, maybe this was the dream. No, maybe this is what he dreamed." He went to God. God gave him the vision in the night, and he goes back to the king, you know, and he says, "This is your dream." He says, "You saw a statue, gold, silver, brass, iron, and then iron and clay feet." He says, "Yeah, that's it. What's it mean?" Daniel tells him, "You are the head of gold." Now, if you've been told by somebody that you're the head of gold on a statue and the rest is just silver and bronze and iron and clay, man, you'd begin to think a whole lot of yourself, wouldn't you? "I'm the gold head. I'm the gold head. Look at that. I'm better than the rest." But you see, this statue had some significance. The gold head was the current empire. There was a silver one coming after, which means his empire wouldn't last forever. And after the silver one, there was a brass one, which would take out the silver one. And then there was an iron one that took out the brass one. And then there were the feet of clay and iron mixed together that came after that. But then there was this big rock of a mountain that came down and smashed the feet of iron and clay, and the whole thing went to powder. And so Nebuchadnezzar, I don't think he ever got past the part that he was the head of gold. And it went to his head that he was great. He was a great king. He was a great leader. He was a great emperor. And in the next chapter, we find that he builds a statue. 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, solid gold. And he put it up in the plain of Dura. That's somewhere over there in the Babylonian Empire. And then he got all of the musicians together. Oh, they played bagpipes, they played all kinds of instruments. And he said to his officials and his nobles, as they were all gathered together at the dedication of this great statue, and he says, "When you hear the sound of the music, you're going to bow down to this image of me." See, when people get a lot of power, and they begin to feel like there's nothing that can take them down, that they're invincible, then they want people to worship them. Now, what do we worship in our country? Do we worship God? Some of us do. Do we truly worship Him like we should? Well, that's a question for each one to answer between them and God. But most of the things that we worship in our country now are things like Nebuchadnezzar wanted his officials and his nobles to worship. Things that are ungodly. That was a beautiful statue, perhaps. And you know, when we always see it on flannel graph in Sunday school, it's just kind of a nondescript statue that looks like, you know, it could be a Martian, but it just doesn't look. I imagine that this was a accurate depiction of Nebuchadnezzar, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, solid gold. And he says, "When you hear the music, You bow down to this thing that I have created. And everybody did when the music played, except for three Jewish young men. They were young men by now, not boys. And they would not bow down. And some of these nobles looked over and saw them standing up when everybody else was bowed to the ground. And they went to the king and they said, "Listen, king, you know you said they had to bow down, but guess what? They're not." And what's he do? He brings them over and he says, "If you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And we're going to heat it up seven times hotter when we get around to it." And now we want to look at verses 17 and 18 of Daniel 3. I told you we'd get there eventually. Look what it says there. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Now here's the clincher. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." That's the key to chapter 3, I believe. Oh, it's great that they went in and they came out. They weren't singed. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. And they got raised up into the kingdom, into high places in the government. But here's why it happened. They were willing to suffer burning up in the furnace. If God would rescue them, great. If God didn't rescue them and they burned up in the fire, great. That is loyalty to God. Back in Mark chapter 1, we find that Jesus was walking along the seashore and he saw two guys, Peter and Andrew, and they were fishing. And what does the Bible say there? It says that he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately, they threw down their nets and followed him. He went a little further, and James and John were in their dad's boat, and they were fixing the nets. They were repairing them. And Jesus said, "Follow me." And immediately, they left their dad in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. Jesus says to us, "Follow me." We all like fellowship, don't we? We're going to have a picnic next Saturday. I don't know anybody who doesn't like a picnic. Especially if there's hamburgers and hot dogs and coleslaw and baked beans and things like that. I don't know, is baked beans a vegetable? No, it's I don't know, is it? Anyway, maybe I like another vegetable I didn't realize. But we love fellowship. We're going to get together. We're going to have fun. We're going to play cornhole. We're going to do all sorts of fun things. The teens are getting together, having a water park deal out on the lawn here. If I was 30 years younger, I might try that myself. 40. 50. I keep forgetting how old I am. Then I look in the mirror. Obvious. But we love fellowship. But you know, there's a more important ship that we see in the Bible. And that's the good ship, fellowship. Fellowship. When God calls on us to follow him, what are we to do? Well, if we do what the disciples did, we throw down whatever we're doing and leave it behind and follow Jesus. Sometimes I think we have watered down what it means to be a follower of Christ. We think that we can just kind of add Jesus to whatever we're doing. And we live in a day where you don't eat if you don't have a job and you don't, that's not entirely true. But basically is you work, you earn money, you get food, you get shelter, you get clothing. That's what our capitalistic system is like. We're losing that very quickly, I believe, that the capitalist system is going to fade away. But you know, when you follow Jesus, the most important thing that's in your life at that point is to follow Jesus. And he's going to make you fishers of men. Now, working where I do, I see a whole lot of fishing for men. Our ministry has many aspects to it. One of the most productive in the sense of reaching people for Jesus Christ is our internet evangelism. It's been in existence since 2011, and there have been 17 million plus decisions for Jesus Christ in 11 years. They have a website that you can go to, and like BBN's chat room, only it covers a vast area around the world. We have over 600 volunteers working in that particular ministry. And then they're followed up and they're discipled, and I don't know how many of the 17 million decisions over the last 11 years were truly sincere, but the law of averages says a good number of them have to be. But to work in an area, in an association like that, and see people come to Christ is so rewarding. And I have a very small part in what happens. I count beans, and then I eat them. But as an accountant, I'm involved in the financial area of the association. But, boy, I'll tell you, to know that when one of our evangelists, we're down to two main ones now, since Billy died back in 2018, but his son Franklin and Franklin's son Will still carry on in-person ministry. Will has been preaching to Native Americans out in the Midwest in reservations. The last two reservations that he preached in had over 500 people accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Praise the Lord for this young man this morning. Wonderful to come to church the first time he's here and to find Jesus. But that's what it's all about. And we do that like Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by being loyal and faithful to our God. Wouldn't it be great if when you got to heaven and you're talking with Jesus there at the judgment seat, and he says, turn around. See all those faces behind you? They're here because of you. They're here because of you. And there's a lot of things we can do on this earth that'll bring pleasure to us. Sports, entertainment, whatever. Some people get a lot of pleasure out of working. Not sure I do. But I've worked for so many years. I've worked for 60 years. I think maybe I need a break. Take a weekend off. But you know, when you can have Jesus tell you at the judgment seat, see those folks? It's because you were loyal to me. That's that good, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's so many things in our world today that can distract us from fellowship. And sometimes we get so excited about fellowship, we forget about fellowship. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went in the fiery furnace, but there was a fourth man there. That fourth man is Jesus. You want Jesus to be your protector? Be loyal to God. What a wonderful God we have. There's none like him. In fact, there's only one real God in all of creation, and that's Jesus. Someday we're going to see him. Wouldn't it be great if he could show you, all the folks, that your life and your words influenced, and they're standing in heaven with you because of what you did. Be faithful to God. We've got kids going back to college. Some of them going to Christian college, some of them not. But you can be faithful to God no matter where you are. Remember, there's two ships. There's fellowship, which is a beautiful cruise ship. And then there's fellowship, which is probably a barge or a freighter painted gray and rust. But that's the one that brings contentment and peace and approval from God. How much better to have God say, well done, than to have your boss say, you're getting a raise. I don't know, people still get raises? I don't. But you know, thank goodness for Social Security. I do get a raise with that every year. But, be faithful to God. He's the one that matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the stories in the Bible, like of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are there for us to learn from. And Lord, when we see how they were loyal to you, how they stood for you in a time where it meant that they could die, a very painful death, that, Lord, you stood by them. You sent your son, Jesus, to walk in the flames with them. And, Lord, you brought them out unscathed. Lord, we pray that we would be loyal to you no matter what the outcome. And that, Lord, we would consider the following of Jesus, our Savior. And that, Lord, we might be fishers of men. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.